In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The transfiguration of our Lord, as the early church fathers testify, is a manifestation of the glory of the God-man, Jesus Christ, before his disciples, in preparation for the full revelation of this glory after he has conquered sin and death upon the cross. For some, it seems counterintuitive to provide this to us in our second Sunday of our Lenten season. This is a season, after all, as we well know, a season of repentance, a season of sacrifice. Why would we then turn our faces to a contemplation of such great glory? And it is precisely for that reason that the Church sets this before us, to make very clear what it is that we are about in our Lenten season, to make us properly understand that the sacrifices that we are enduring, that we have undertaken freely, joyfully, hopefully easily, and thus far have been successful in doing so, are directly related to the glory into which we will be invited. If we can die with Christ, we know that we will live with him. This has been God's plan and desire for all of us from the beginning of time. Despite our sin, our weakness, and our failure at the very beginning of creation, our Heavenly Father had already set in motion that he was going to reconcile us unto himself, and that the reality of this reconciliation would not just merely be a reset of what was, but to bestow upon us an even greater glory, and that greater glory is to share in this transfiguration that our Lord himself makes manifest. But we know that the beloved Son, in whom the Father is well pleased, achieves his glory, becomes transfigured, a face the sight of the sun and garments as white as snow. He achieves this by the shedding of his blood and the gift of his body. This is no easy price to pay, that man had found a way to put to death the Son of God. But that is precisely what we accomplish in our sinfulness. But in the fullness of time, he took all sin unto himself, past, present, and future, and in so doing not only brought about our reconciliation, but a wholeness that we could never possibly have imagined. We, after all, are creatures in the hands of a creator. We only know ourselves as beloved sons and daughters because the Father sends his Son to reveal this dignity to us. And we share most fully in that dignity as we seek moment after moment to configure ourselves to the mystery of Christ. What that involves for us is what St. Paul says to the Thessalonians, to walk not as children of sin, but to walk as men and women of holiness, to concretely put aside sinful ways. And so the Lenten season and the disciplines that you're undertaking are also meant to root out in you any sinfulness, and going to confession in one sense as often and as frequently as you need to. In order to facilitate that, with the exception of Sunday, confession is heard at the oratory every day during the Lenten season. There is no reason why we cannot, nor should not, approach the throne of mercy and ask God for forgiveness. And in this way, we are able to be in holiness and to put aside uncleanliness. This requires work from us. It requires diligence and attentiveness and deliberateness. There can be no half-hearted measures, no fits and starts, no beginnings and ends over and over and over again. Because to do so, brothers and sisters, is to squander the dignity that God wants to bestow upon us. This isn't merely simply putting aside evil ways. It is also about embracing good. It's not just avoiding those things that are wrong, but living a life that is indeed right. And that's where our energies need to be. The fullness of God's grace is given to us in order to achieve that. We are never alone in accomplishing this. And if we feel we are alone, it might stem from the fact that we think we can do this through our own industry or our own native talents or our own strength. And nothing can be further from the truth. If we seek to do this on our own, we will fail time and time again. Peter so beautifully articulates that it is good for us to be here, and then immediately is afraid because of what transpires. We might think that we would behave differently. Overwhelmed by the glory of God, like Peter, we would say, Lord, it is good that we are here. But like Peter, also times we are overcome with fear. And what does fear do? It makes us hide our face and turn away from God. Here is our Lord, the fulfillment of the law and the prophets standing before them. How blessed they are not only to know who he is, but to have that affirmed with the voice of the Heavenly Father, and then the exhortation to hear him, to listen to him, which is the root of the word obedience, to hear and to listen to what God says to us. That exhortation is given to us in each celebration of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. God continues to speak to us eloquently from the altar of sacrifice. Listen to what God is saying to you in your prayer, what God is doing to you in this Lenten season, and then resolve not to allow yourself to crumble under fear and doubt and confusion, but instead to look upon the face of God and to truly live. One of the greatest sad effects of the Protestant revolt, and there are so many that it's almost difficult to catalog them, is that it has convinced modern man the last 500-600 years that grace is not real. And if grace does exist, then we simply cannot cooperate with it. And if we are able to cooperate with it, that cooperation is capricious. That is not true, brothers and sisters. Grace is real, and it is abundant. And God so desires to give it to us. And we are indeed predisposed from the moment of our own creation to be able to cooperate with the manifold graces that God bestows upon us. Is it difficult? Yes, it is difficult. But so what? Anything worth value, anything worth meaning is going to require something from us. Nothing is given to us easily. And why is this so? If the author of life himself submitted to death that we might have new life, how can we think that we would be subject to anything less? And so we boast in our infirmities, and we rejoice in our afflictions, and we celebrate our crosses, and we do all of that with the Lord, knowing that he wants to bestow upon us the strength we need to be resilient and carry our crosses. And if at times we fail in fear and we turn away from God, and in that fear, we embrace uncleanness instead of embracing holiness, there is no reason to believe that we have to stay in the muck and the mire. That same grace that has raised us up is there again to do precisely that. And so, as you will hear me say every Sunday during the Lenten season, remain steadfast in your disciplines. Do not lightly excuse yourself from what it is that you have undertaken. And if you have not yet begun, or if you have begun poorly, there is still ample time for you to be on the road that is straight and narrow that leads to the fullness of new life in Christ. Grace poured out upon grace, abundantly bestowed upon us, that in the fullness of time, that which Peter, James, and John witnessed, we too might witness, to look upon the face of the living God and to truly live. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.